Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Awesome. So, I don't know where Cy went, but thank you, Cy and Jack. We love to share the celebration with you guys every year. It's really fun. So, it's a really cool thing that we get to do every year. So, and if you don't mind, I think just in celebration, I'll preach today in Mandarin, if you don't mind. So, if you don't know me, my name is Garrett Berkeley. I'm the young adult ministry pastor. I am a millennial. Trying to shepherd other millennials. And I know what you're thinking. Isn't that kind of a blind leading the blind situation? You might be onto something there, but it's going well so far. Now, I'm actually proud to be a millennial. Jesus was a millennial, right? He was born at the start of a new millennium. He wore sandals to work. He lived with his mom till he was 30. And as soon as he had 12 followers, he quit his job to be an influencer. So. Before I continue, I just want to share some difficult news. This week, we lost a member of our church. If you know the young couple, Travis and Laura Bodie, they've been attending for a couple years, and they're involved with several different ministries. They were due with their first baby last week, Sunday. Baby was comfortable and stayed in for a few days. And for reasons only known to God, their baby boy, Mason Joseph Bodie, was born directly into the arms of Jesus on Wednesday night. So please keep them in your prayers. And if you feel led to support them, you can contact me or Dee in the office. So far, they've received great support. When I spoke to the chaplain at the hospital, she said that the way that this community has supported this couple in the last few days has set the new standard. She has never seen support from a community like what we have provided. So I'm very proud of that. So let's just pray for them right now. Lord, our hearts are grieved, and we are mourning. We ask for your love and your peace to surround Travis and Laura. We thank you for this life that you created. Lord, we know that whether we live or die, you are still good. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We ask that you show us how to continue to love Travis and Laura and surround them with your peace. Lord, I ask that you speak through me today as we continue with studying your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a series called Commissioned, where we as Christ followers are kind of fleshing out this concept of the Great Commission in a post-Christian culture. In case some of you aren't familiar with the Great Commission or what that is, I'll just back up a little bit. So the Great Commission is in reference to what Jesus was teaching his followers right after he resurrected and before he ascended into heaven. There was a crowd, and he told them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So these were the last words of Jesus according to the Gospel of Matthew. And so far, Pastor Kevin has taught us the significance of the Holy Spirit's leading and influence in us sharing our faith. Sharing our faith is not some special work. We don't earn heaven points. We do this because we're commanded to by Jesus. We want to partner with the Holy Spirit, and we want to love our community as best as we can. And then last week, Pastor Luke talked about evangelism and how, even though that word has a sour taste for some, it is a critical function for the body of Christ. One aspect of evangelism is our personal testimony and knowing how to communicate that. And so today I want to talk about us knowing and knowing how to communicate the message of Christ's work, the message that saves. And so there's some terminology here I just want to explain before we go further. We have testimony, we have gospel, we have message. Sometimes these are all kind of used interchangeably, which is fine, but just for the sake of what I'm talking about today, I'm separating a little bit the testimony of the gospel, which is our personal testimony and how God works through us and in us, and then separating that with the message of the gospel, what he accomplished on the cross, how we fit into that story, the salvation message. So today we're going to continue the series by evaluating a little bit of the who, what, where, when, why, how of sharing the gospel. So we're going to start with reading Luke 5. If you want to stand, and I will read. Luke 5, 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats with so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. You may be seated. So if you are a follower of Jesus, he is or is wanting to be making you a fisher of men. So if you are not in the process of trying to disciple people and bring people into the Christian faith, I challenge you, why are you not doing that? So Jesus was not really qualified to tell the fishers how to fish. He was a craftsman, he was a carpenter doing masonry work, and it's well known by the people that lived in that area, especially the fishermen, that to catch fish, you would stay in the shallow and you would fish at night. And then here comes Jesus, and he says, "How about you go out in the deep and you go do it during the day?" And as we read, they get the biggest catch they've ever seen, and they were amazed. So he was challenging them to go against their experience and their knowledge. And I love not only that Jesus was displaying his authority in that moment, it was a sign, it was an amazing miracle, but Simon's response, it was a lot of sacrificial obedience. I love the way it says in the New King James Version, it says, "Nevertheless, I will let down my nets." He was giving up what he thought was going to work, what he had done in the past, And Jesus worked it all out. So our typical ways and approaches of sharing the gospel may need to be radically changed by Holy Spirit's direction, despite what has worked in the past or what seems logical. Are you with me? All right, so let's look at what is the gospel. So I'm referring to verbally communicating the significance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the hope that we have in Christ's work, and what our place is in that story. Your testimony is important. I know it points to Jesus, as does mine, but it does not contain the components that a non-believer needs in order to obtain salvation. The gospel message is the message of salvation. Will Metzger, he's an author and evangelist. He wrote this in his book titled Tell the Truth. He says, "The content of our message is Christ, not our journey of faith or what Christ has done in our lives. Our personal testimony may be included, but witnessing is much more than a spiritual autobiography. Specific truths about a specific person are our proclamation." And that person, of course, is Jesus. So why share the gospel? This one's pretty easy, right? Our Heavenly Father desires the hearts of all people. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." In Romans, the Apostle Paul spends time instructing the early church of the desperate need for evangelism so that people can be saved. And Paul asks, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" And then a little bit later in Corinthians, Paul says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." So who needs the gospel? Another easy Sunday school answer, everyone. Everyone needs the gospel. People inside the Christian faith, people outside the Christian faith. The gospel message is a one-size-fits-all message. People outside the faith, for obvious reasons, like Paul just said, they aren't saved, and God wants them to be saved. People inside, most of us, I'm assuming, inside the Christian faith, we also need the gospel message on a regular basis. Controversial pastor and writer Rob Bell wrote a book called Jesus Wants to Save Christians Too. The book is just okay, but I love that title. I love that phrase. It's a reminder that we don't graduate from the gospel. Nobody graduates from the gospel. We all need it on a regular basis. Amen? Thanks, Garfield. Lord, send us more Garfields, please. So this will be hard for some of you to hear, and I do know that it's somewhat counter to our current evangelism methods, but we must make a big deal of sin. Why is it necessary that we make a big deal of sin? If people don't understand their sin, they can't be convicted. They won't have the context for why they need the message. A couple days ago, two of my kids were fighting, and when my son hit my daughter, and my daughter was crying, and they came up, and I was trying to mediate this problem. And at first, I just wanted to tell my son, "You need to apologize to your sister." But I didn't do that. I did what probably most of us parents have done at least a couple times. I went a step further, because he was just being defensive and looking the other way. I said, "You need to look at your sister. Look at her. She's crying. You did this to her. You hurt her." So I said, "You need to look at her and then apologize." So my intention was for them to see that they truly wronged someone. Our sin is not a personal issue we're actually doing wrong to a holy God. Conviction is a work of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is not mean. It's simply comparing our behavior to God's standards, which he set out simply in the Ten Commandments. When used correctly, conviction is specific, it's helpful, and it's hopeful. I'll say that again. When used correctly, conviction is specific, it's helpful, and it's hopeful. So I work here on staff here, and I'm also a paramedic. I work on the ambulance a couple times a week. And I have a favorite medication that I like to give people. There's a lot of different fun medications that I get to give people. But I have a favorite. Those of you in the medical world will know a little bit. But my favorite medication to give is adenosine. Now this drug, we give it to people whose heart is just going out of control, generally just going way too fast. We give it and we essentially stop their heart for a second and it slaps their heart in the face and it restarts. And if it works correctly, then their heart is going back to normal. And so I had a patient the other day, a big guy, and he was saying, "Ah, my chest is feeling kind of fluttery, it doesn't feel right," and hooked him up to the monitor, and there it was. His heart was going 200 times a minute, way too fast. And I said, "Okay, well, there's a problem here. Your heart's going way too fast. It just feels like a fluttering for you right now, but if this, it's not sustainable. You can't live this way. But luckily, I have a medication that I can give you. And you might just feel a little bit woozy for like a second, but then everything's going to be better." He said, "Sweet, give it to me. I'm in." So I start an IV, I give him the medication, and it works really quick. So after a few seconds, this big guy just goes, "Oh!" And that's my cue to look at the monitor. And his heart is going from right back into how it's supposed to be going. And he said, "Oh man, I just feel like I got punched in the chest. What does that medication actually do?" I said, "Well, it actually kind of stops your heart." With hopes that it just restarts the right way again. "Okay, well, thanks for not telling me that up front, because I would have been in a panic." So do you see this correlation with how we're giving people, communicating this gospel message? People around us in our community, their heart is going way too fast, and it's killing them. They might not even know it. But we have this medicine. We have this message that we can give them. And when we give it with the context of sin, their heart will probably stop for a second when they realize this disconnection that sin is causing with their Heavenly Father. For that brief second, it probably won't feel good, because the true message is that they're dying. But that's not the end of the message, right? Jesus still comes and he gives life, and he sets everything right. So there's a practical problem as well that I want to cover. Studies show that a large percentage of believers don't truly know the gospel story. Most of you could probably answer a lot of questions about the gospel, like on a multiple choice test, but can you effectively communicate it? Having the ability to communicate the gospel fully and simply will change everything about how you share your faith. And I'm talking about in like a 2 to 5 minute chunk. Every believer should know how to lay out the gospel of Christ. There's nothing wrong with creativity in sharing the gospel. I'm not going into that. I know lots of people that share the gospel clearly and creatively. I'm not looking to give you a new tool of how to share the message. I'm not giving you an acronym or a drawing or anything like that. Those are useful. That's not what I'm here to do today. Not knowing the gospel story and how you yourself are saved is not an option. So I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but if you feel like I'm describing you, it might be time to grow up in your faith, learn the story, and learn how to communicate it. And what is that story? I want to tell it to you because we just learned that everyone needs the gospel. But if any of you here are new, or maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, that you don't consider yourself a follower of Christ, or maybe if you don't feel like you've heard this message before, I encourage you specifically to listen very closely to the words I'm telling you, because they will save you. Our sin is killing us. God gave us laws and commandments. We broke them. All of them. We are guilty. Yes, he is loving. Yes, he is merciful. But he's also perfectly just. He will not just pardon you for your sins because he loves you. That's not what the scriptures say. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Our connection is broken. Someone must do something. Historically, God allowed people to sacrifice animals to atone for their sin. This time, God made a way to atone for our sin and also be in union with him. God sent his son, Jesus, to live among us. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. That's why he was the only one that could properly be sacrificed for our sin. And he was. He died on the cross. Yes, it was horrific and agonizingly painful. But the true agony of that moment was that Jesus took on the wrath of God in our replacement. God was fully pleased with the sacrifice that was offered. Jesus was buried and Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, just like he said he would. By doing this, he defeated death and proved that he was the Messiah. It sounds like it was a great battle, but it wasn't. The enemy didn't even have a chance. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, you and I now have the opportunity to be in union with our Heavenly Father. Our perfect judge will see our crimes on the day that we die. But he will say, you may have life forever because someone else has paid your fines. In order to have our fines paid in full, we must receive a free gift. We must seek forgiveness from our Father. He said that if you ask, he will give it to you. And we must acknowledge Jesus as our Savior and as our King. This is the gospel of Christ Jesus. So I leave you with this simple last sentence. I plead with you that if you have not, to repent to believe.